one thing we have to get used to, maybe we never do, but we have to keep striving to get used to, is that God's way of seeing things is different from our way of seeing things. His way of thinking is different from our way of thinking. There's even a famous passage in the prophet Isaiah that says this: "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my thoughts above your thoughts, my ways above your ways." There's a heavenly way of thinking, and then there's a earthly or human way of thinking, and typically we have a more human way of thinking. That's why it takes effort for us to think heavenly thoughts. That's why we ponder the word. Some of you are gathered here for the pondering this morning. Why ponder the word? Because that gives us God's thoughts, plants God's word in our hearts. Well, today's readings have examples of this concept, that God's way of seeing things, God's way of thinking, is different from ours. In the first reading, St. Paul continues to talk about slavery. And then in the Gospel, Jesus speaks about his burning desire to set the earth on fire and to establish division. We would say, what? What? Fire? Division? That's not the way we would think. Well, let's start with St. Paul, because we are continuing his reflection on the difference between slavery to sin and slavery to God, or slavery to righteousness. Yesterday, I spoke a little bit about the different levels of slavery or servitude in the ancient world. Maybe that wasn't very helpful or even important. What's important is to get out or get away from the modern idea that we should not be enslaved or in servitude to anyone or anything. That's a modern idea. Not slavery to God or slavery to sin. No, we're just in charge of ourselves and we can do what we want. That's the modern misunderstanding of freedom. Well, Paul, he's not thinking like that. He says you have to either be slaves of God or slaves of sin. That's the two options. And he invites us to reflect a little bit about this. He says, well, now think about what it was like when you were slaves of sin. He even jokes about it. That's when you were free from righteousness. Free from righteousness. That's not freedom at all. But anyways, it's a little bit an irony there, or a humor. Remember when you were free from righteousness, when you were free from being belonging to God. What was that like? Well, it was horrible. And anyone who knows the pattern of sin and knows what it's like to be caught in sin knows how horrible it is to be a slave of sin. What profit did you get then from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now, we have been set free from sin, thanks be to God. But we should remember, in fact, we have daily experience of it, we should remember what direction sin always leads us in. Sin always drags us down. Sin always enslaves and ultimately leads to death, to eternal death. The other option is slavery to God. Now, it sounds bad to us because the word slavery is so repulsive to us, but it's not. This is what leads to true freedom and to eternal life. And this is what Jesus says. Now that you have been freed from sin, freed from that option, and become slaves of God, the benefit that you have leads to sanctification, holiness, and its end is eternal life. So you can see what he's doing here. He's drawing two maps. One map goes from where we are now and down to eternal death. That's slavery to sin. The other map goes up beyond this world. It goes to eternal life, to glory with God, to holiness. That's why he says at the end of the reading, the wages of sin is death. What you get from sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what this reading is telling us, what St. Paul is planting in us, is a heavenly way of thinking. A heavenly way of thinking about slavery. How good it is to belong to God and to serve God. Now, we have to keep telling ourselves this, because what happens is some temptation or some weakness or some memory or some pattern in our life will push us toward sin. And it appears to us in moments of temptation like, well, maybe that's okay. Maybe that won't harm me. Maybe that will be fun. Maybe that will be a release of tension. Maybe that will get me out of trouble or whatever. That's what temptation always lies to us about. And we all have weaknesses. So let's say if you have a weakness for anger, something in a moment of anger says, I've got to tell that. I've got to tell her that. I'm going to do that. Or maybe a weakness for pride. I'm better than he is. I'm better than she is. Why should I have to relate to him? Or laziness. Or self-indulgence. Or, I don't know, any misuse of time, misuse of money, misuse of possessions, misuse of relationships. All kinds of things can enslave us. And in the moment of temptation, they don't look like slavery. That's human thinking. He said, this will be good for at least for a little while. Let me try this. Let me do a little gossiping. Let me do a little bit of self-indulgence. Let me do a little bit of escape, a little lies, whatever might seem good in the moment. But what we're being told here, remember where that leads. It doesn't lead to relaxation, happiness, freedom, fulfillment. It leads to death. Serving God, which we know is the right way, the best way, the fulfilling way, it sometimes seems to us bad. It sometimes seems, first of all, difficult, unpleasant. When we belong to God, when we say yes to God, it includes yes to things that we don't like. We don't like to do, or we can't do things that we would rather do. And in those moments, we have to say, no, this is still the right thing. This slavery is what leads to eternal life. And even if I can't feel it or see it right now, I can trust in the Word of God. I want to take His thoughts, not my thoughts. Follow His ways, not my ways. Okay, so with that in mind, we turn to what Jesus says here about division. Now, we would naturally think that division is a bad thing. That having a household of five divided two against three and three against two, that's a bad thing. That shouldn't be like that. We don't like that. We don't want it to be like that. But Jesus says, no, I have come not to establish peace on the earth, but rather division. Now, what is he saying here? He's not saying that he wants us to be divided, but he is saying that if we are slaves of God, if we are committed to the way of God, one of the results will be division. And that's the way it has to be. There is no unity without truth. There's no unity without commitment to God. And if you have in one household three people who are following, who are slaves of God, and two people who are slaves of sin, there's going to be division. We experience this in our households. We experience it in ourselves, division. This morning I came out of the house. It was about, 5:35, 5:40. A bunch of ladies here having coffee. 5:30 in the morning. They're wearing unwilling shirts. I said, oh, wow, I wasn't invited to this party. No, they're enjoying their time here and having coffee and preparing for the Mass, for the adoration, and for the pondering. So beautiful. They told me, oh yeah, they came early to avoid the traffic. Oh, what time did you leave? 3:15. 3:15 in the morning to come from Cavite. Now, I think that's beautiful. I think that's a wonderful thing. That's commitment to God. That's a right priority. If you want to put God first, if you want to go to Mass, if you want to take time in adoration, if you want to take time pondering the Word, okay. That's good, beautiful. But there's somebody in your families. There's someone in your neighborhood. Yung mga kamag-anak, yung mga kapitbahay, ang isip nila, sila ang ulo niyo. Diba? Parang mali ang isip niyo. Because you're slaves of God. And those who are not slaves of God will not understand that kind of sacrifice or that kind of commitment. So someone today is saying, those Anuwim ladies, they're foolish. They're foolish. That's division. Maybe they'll even be angry. Maybe they think you're wrong. Maybe they think you should be doing something else. In fact, all of us in this room, in this chapel, have somebody who is thinking, we shouldn't be here right now. We should be doing something else. Family members, maybe their children or grandchildren or spouses, are saying, what are you doing? Wasting your time in the Anuwim chapel on Thursday morning. Why don't you do something practical? Why don't you do something for me? Anyway, my point is, when we are following God, there will be division from those who are not following God or those who don't understand the ways of God. Not that everybody in the other side of divisions is bad. That would be a terrible judgment. But there will be division. There will be disagreement, misunderstanding. And Jesus says, I have come for this. Why? Because he has to separate heaven from earth, in the sense of earthly, worldly things. He has to separate his way of thinking from fallen human ways of thinking. And those whom he calls to follow him have to separate themselves from the ways of thinking of the world. It has to be. That's just the nature of truth. Truth is like a dividing line. Truth is like a knife. Truth is like a fire. It has its effect on us, whether we like it or not. That's the way it is. So Jesus is helping us understand this. Now, if it strikes us in the moment as being a bad thing, we're the ones who have to adjust. We can't hold a resentment against God for doing it the way we don't like it. No. That's slave of sin. Once we start judging God or think that we know better than he does, that's in the direction of slavery to sin. No. When we say, oh, I don't like this, I wish it were some other way, you say, but your will be done, Lord. I'm going to follow your way. I'm going to accept the hardships, the disagreements, the divisions, the suffering, because I trust in you. I think your thinking is better than my thinking. And your way is better than my way. So that's why I'm going to follow this way. And I think that's what today's readings are inviting us to do. So as we take time now to worship the Lord, as we take time after the Mass for adoration, as we take time to ponder the Word together, let us open our hearts to the freedom that comes from submitting ourselves to God.